Call the Planning Commission meeting to order for April 20th, 2010. Commissioner Jack, would you lead us in the pledge to our flag?
Please stand, place your heart, hand over your heart, and follow me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I get a roll call, please?
Commissioner Jack?
Here.
Commissioner Colomarino?
Here.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Here.
Commissioner Ward?
Here.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Bence?
Present.
And Chairperson Moreno?
Here.
All present.
I have a motion for approval of the agenda.
Move approval of the agenda.
Second.
First by Vice Chairperson Bence, second by Commissioner Sturdivant. Roll call, please.
Vice Chairperson Bence?
Yes.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yes.
Commissioner Jack?
On to Planning Commission business. This was an issue of mine from the April 6th meeting when we approved our March 2nd minutes. There was a statement made that the commission felt we should be looking at the boutique ordinance, and it's sort of the way it was stated, it was that, you know, the commission as a whole thought we should be looking forward at that. And I didn't bring that up at the time, and afterwards I spoke with Annette, and I said, I don't think it was the entire commission. There were some commissioners, and she went back and reviewed it and agreed that it was some commissioners had expressed that concern. So I had that changed, and is there any comment on that? If I could have a motion to reconsider those minutes and approve or to approve them.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Jack, second by Vice Chairperson Bence. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Jack?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Bence?
Yes.
Commissioner Colomarino?
Yes.
Commissioner Ward?
Yes.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yes.
And Chairperson Moreno?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Thank you. All right, on to our Community Development Staff Report.
Madam Chair, real quick, I'd just like to introduce our new assistant planner to the Planning Commission.
Please.
Alfredo Castillo is our new assistant planner. He started last Monday. He's been here a week now, so he's getting up to speed. He's a graduate from Cal Poly in the City and Regional Planning Program, and he's been working in the private sector for the last 7 years, and we've selected him as our new assistant planner. We're really happy to have him on board, and you'll be seeing him quite a bit in the future.
Great. Welcome, Alfredo.
Welcome.
Thank you.
All right, our first hearing item tonight will be a tree removal permit. The address on this is 5000 Yano Road. This is a request to remove 16 native trees in order to construct a single-family residence. The residence is proposed at about 3,000 square feet, and it does have a basement that is the same size as the main living floor, so an additional 3,000 square feet. This tree removal includes 14 blue oaks and 2 live oaks, and it's a total diameter of 197 inches. The project is located off of Yano Road, which is directly off of Santa Lucia. This is a residential suburban lot. It's a 27-acre parcel. You can see it outlined here in the middle. And it has 1.9 acres of disturbance. So while the parcel size is very large, they're only going to be affecting a little bit less than 2 acres of the parcel. This is a site plan of the proposed improvements. It's color-coded here so you can see and understand a little bit clearer. It's a small access point from the parcel onto Yano Road. Here's a larger image of the parcel. So the applicant is proposing to take access where the property connects to Yano. There's a creek crossing proposed over a Blue Line Creek. The road kind of winds along this narrow parcel entrance. There's one tree that needs to be removed at, close to the road entrance in review. This is an aerial photo of the site. Here you can see the creek and the riparian vegetation around the creek This is the more heavily wooded areas. And the yellow here is the road location. And you can see it goes along the creek and then comes up to the hillside home site. The areas in green here are where the proposed tree removals are located. The applicant will be required to mitigate the tree removals per the ordinance. It's approximately $3,000 in payment to the Native Tree Fund. And the applicant has chosen to mitigate it this way rather than replanting on site so that the city can plant elsewhere, since there are already so many trees on site. The applicant has worked with staff, the project biologist, and the project arborist, in addition to Fish and Game, to minimize site impacts as much as possible. So the applicant has modified the site since the original submittal. The original submittal was back in 2007, and the applicant has made many changes since then. They have revised the driveway location and layout, used tree wells to save the trees, and then they've used a poured-in-place arched culvert instead of a standard culvert to cross the creek, and that way there are very minimal impacts along the creek. And there are two parts to this application in order to process this building permit. The first one that you are looking at tonight is the tree removal permit. So tonight we're just looking at the trees. The second part of this process is a precise plan, and that is for the CEQA part of the application. And what we've done is posted a mitigated negative declaration, and that identifies additional mitigation measures for the creek, the riparian areas, and the other biological impacts. And the applicant is in the process of working with Fish and Game to obtain a permit through them. The findings are identified in your staff report, and staff has identified the following findings: that the tree is obstructing proposed improvements that cannot be designed around. Staff is recommending that the Planning Commission approve the resolution as conditioned. And the applicant is here if the Planning Commission has questions.
Thank you, Callie. If we could start, we'll start with ex parte. We just, about 2 minutes before the meeting started, we received a rebuttal of draft resolution for this staff report filed by John Ellis. And I believe, Annette, is there a copy in the back along with the... Okay, there will be a copy in back if anyone would like to take a look at that. Beyond that, if we could start with Commissioner Ward, anybody have any ex parte? Commissioner Ward, no?
None.
Thank you. All right, let's begin. If anybody has any questions of staff, Commissioner Schmidt.
Yes. Could you please explain why there is a bifurcation of permits, let's say? There's this tree discussion that we're having tonight, and then there's a precise plan that we're talking about sometime in the future. Why aren't the projects being put together? And that's my question.
The two applications are being processed together. They submitted for the tree removal and the precise plan together back in 2007. But the CEQA document is currently under review. It's posted at the county, and it doesn't require Planning Commission action. Only the tree removal requires Planning Commission approval. So the CEQA document will be on review for 30 days. We send it to all of the affected agencies, Department of Fish and Game, Regional Water Quality Board, and the State Clearinghouse. And so that is being processed together with this.
So when was that document posted?
It was just posted at the county yesterday.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Colomarino?
We're only looking at the 16
just the
trees.
Okay, thank you.
The CEQA document, the review period is not complete yet. There will be time for additional comments from agencies and the public. So the creek crossing, the fishing game bank items, those things are under the environmental review. And they're separate than the tree removal permit.
Will that come before us again for to approve the CEQA?
No, it will not.
No. Thank you.
Callie, obviously there's sort of a difficult access point, the driveway that's proposed. Did staff look into other options that might be available?
There is only one access point on the site that connects to a public road. Mm-hmm. And since they do have an actual connection to the road. It is encouraged to access the site where they legally have access. They could take an easement from somebody else's property, but the city doesn't force somebody to obtain an easement from their neighbor, and it's actually recommended that they use their legal access.
Okay.
That way there's no issue on if they can access their house or not.
Okay. And just at a brief notice, again, we received this a couple of minutes before the meeting began. One of the issues that seems to be being brought up in here is that public notice needed to be sent. And so could you speak to that with regards to this meeting tonight and what public notice, if any, was required?
The tree removal permit only requires that the lot be posted 10 days before the hearing. So the lot was posted out on site. There's the yellow signs out there. Tree removal permits are not noticed to all the neighbors. And so that is a standard thing for all tree removal permits. The environmental document, on the other hand, is noticed to all neighbors within 1,000 feet of the property. So last week, the neighbors probably received a notice saying that a CEQA document is going to be posted, and they can comment on that. And then staff will take a look at all the comments that are received and incorporate additional mitigation if that's necessary.
And what is the proper venue for then commenting on that CEQA document since we're not doing anything here tonight? How do they comment? And it's probably in that letter, but just maybe so everyone knows, how can they comment on that document?
The best thing to do is to put comments in writing and send it to the Community Development Department at the city. We'll be able to take a look at all of the recommended, or all of the concerns, and if there's things that haven't been addressed in the CEQA document, we can incorporate additional mitigation.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Colomarino.
Did you receive any objections from any neighbors or anybody with respect to this prior to coming here this evening?
I did receive two phone calls, one last week and one today, from neighbors of the property. And we discussed the project, and there wasn't anything in particular that stood out. And I did let everybody know that they're welcome to come to the meeting if they have concerns.
And this document that we were just presented with right before the meeting here, rebuttal of draft resolution number PC 2010-0010, dated April 20th, presented by John Ellis. Did you see that before this meeting?
Just before the meeting was the first time I see this.
And have you had any communications from Mr. Ellis prior to this evening?
You know, I'm not sure if I've spoken to him before. I did speak to two of the neighbors, but I do not recognize the name.
And I realize that this has just come up here.
This address is the one that we have on our file. The satellite map is talking about a dirt road from the neighboring property. You can kind of see in this aerial photo here, there is a dirt road that comes along from the neighbor's property just to the south. And that's because the road, or the creek crossing location, you can't actually get across there right now because the creek's there. So right now the applicant uses the neighbor's parcel to access the site. I think it's not just on a temporary basis. It goes right by their house. There might be another road from another parcel. I'm not really sure if there's any other connections out there. But the city does not require them to use another person's parcel. They have access, and they are allowed to use their access. The CEQA document is posted, and we have done a mitigated negative declaration. So a project of this size doesn't require a complete EIR. That's for a much larger size project. The arborist report was prepared as we require them. The applicants are required to hire their own arborist and biologist, which he has done. There is a gravel pit on an adjacent site, but it's not part of this site. So it's over here off of Santa Lucia. So that is part of a separate project. And then the issue of whether or not to take out the trees is the item before Planning Commission tonight. So the Planning Commission needs to find that the proposed project can't be done without removal of those trees.
Thank you.
And so, again, just to clarify for everybody, what's before us tonight is the tree removal of 16 trees, not the CEQA document.
That's correct. Tonight we are looking at the tree removals. And if there are other concerns, you know, it's something that, you know, if it's If it's something that relates to the tree removals, you're welcome to bring that up. But the
sure.
There are other mitigation measures that will address items in the CEQA document.
Right. That will be taken care of elsewhere. We don't ourselves want to start getting off track onto that. We need to keep focused on what we're here for. Okay. Commissioner Schmidt.
Yes. I'd like to kind of carry on with what was being discussed and has to do with the trees itself. What is the relationship of the timing between the approval of the tree removal and then of this subsequent precise plan, in that with the approval that we give, if we did give it tonight, could the applicant go out there and take out the trees and then take care of the precise plan later? I guess my concern is what if the precise plan says that the there's a, you know, Fish and Game, Army Corps, whoever else says, no, you can't cross here, or it becomes prohibitive because of cost. And so that is abandoned, and then the trees have been taken out, but I'm going to use another option.
What we what our ordinance says and what we require is that the trees can't be removed until the building permit is issued. So we actually require that tree protection fencing be put in place to protect the trees that are supposed to stay. We'll actually have an on-site meeting where we meet with the arborist or biologist, the applicant, and the grading contractor, so that everybody knows which trees are to stay and which trees can come out. And we'll do all of that before building permits are issued. Followed. So removing them prior to building permit issuance would be against their permit and against our ordinance.
In the document that was provided to us tonight by Mr. Ellis, he offers that there is this alternate road. In the presentation materials that you provided to us in our staff report, there is an extensive discussion about how the applicant has reached out at the very beginning, has had meetings with staff in preparation of tonight's hearing. And any of those meetings that you've had with him or they, was there a discussion about alternate access points?
We did not discuss accessing through another parcel. The parcel just to the south that we use to get to the site, we did briefly discuss that, but it is directly through this neighbor's driveway right next to their house, basically going through their front yard. So it wasn't an ideal situation for the access point to this house. And they do have their own access, so it wasn't something that staff pushed if the applicant wasn't interested in it. We did look at a lot of different site plans for this. We revised the road quite a bit since the original submittal 3 years ago. They've revised the location to avoid many of the trees, and then they originally had proposed a driveway. It's sort of like a circle driveway that impacted a lot more trees up at the top of the hill, and they've revised that so it only has one access point right now. So that has a lot less tree removals.
With respect to constraints that you've discussed through this process, did anything have to do with slope, steepness of the road?
It's definitely something that we look at. 20% is the maximum slope that somebody can do so that we can get a fire truck up the hill. So it's a little bit, the road does need to wind up the hill a little, and so that is the reason for some of those tree removals. So slope is definitely a factor, but it's something that we can work around and get it to meet the code.
So there's no analysis at all with respect to the feasibility of any alternate sites besides the two roads that is used now and the one that's being proposed by the applicant?
Let's see. Maybe I can show it on the site plan. Here on the aerial, this might make a little more sense. Right here is where you... down by Yano Road, you have the proposed creek crossing. So there is one tree that's proposed to come out with this creek crossing and that access point to Yano. If we access from another parcel, say from the neighbor to the south or one of the parcels to the north, there would still be the tree impacts going up the hill to the home site. That's where most of the tree removals are located in this area. So... it wouldn't really affect the tree removals a whole lot to take a different access point. I think we would be able to save this one tree right here, and possibly the second, if we accessed from the north.
I guess my concern is more of one of with respect to slope, and a lot of times when we have roads that are trailed in, they're usually designed for, you know, smaller vehicles, Jeeps and so on, and are somewhat in a wildland type things. And
Blue Oak Woodland, that's where the tree removals are proposed as it goes up the hillside, and that's where we see the slope.
Yeah, you can see that from the contours there. Okay, thank you.
And if I could just make a request that everybody would put their cell phones on silent or turn them off, we'd appreciate that. And seeing no other comments, is the applicant present? Thank you, Vice Chair. Is the applicant present who would like to address? Please come to the podium and state your name for the commission. Thank you. Right over here.
Hello, I'm Janet Stockton.
If you could turn on the microphone, there's a little
push button.
Speak into the mic. No.
Now?
I think.
Testing?
Yes, there you go.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay, my name is Janet Stockton. My current residence address is 8761 East Barstow, Clovis, California.
And I'm William Stockton, same address.
And is there anything that you would like to let the commission know, or any questions that you have?
Well, there's been questions about accessing the parcel from the north. We spent a lot of time on the parcel trying to pick the most environmentally friendly way to build our house and how to get to the parcel. If we came in from the north, we would be affecting a lot more trees. We'd have to prune up trees for the fire department, and it would be a much larger impact than the way that we currently have designed.
Crossing the creek, the one blue oak, the only reason it is coming out is to satisfy the fire department. It leans at a pretty steep angle, mm-hmm. and I believe they need a vertical, 15-foot vertical clearance, so it's impossible. It leans maybe 15 feet over, so.
Okay.
And by the time you would get any kind of a clearance, you'd be 10 feet, maybe more, into the property of the neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so in working with the fire department, Commissioner Schmidt was, you know, just concerned about the grade towards the top and what's necessary to get a fire truck up there. So you've done the work and work with the fire department so they know what you're planning, and access is not going to be a problem?
I don't believe the access will be a problem. The steepest grade is, I believe it's between 12% and 14%. That would be the steepest.
Okay.
And we did contact the fire department in 2007 when we first started working on the site to make sure we could meet all the parameters they required to get a fire truck in there.
Okay. Are there any commission members that have a question of the applicant? Okay, seeing none, thank you very much. And now I would like to open this to any members of the public wishing to speak on this. Please state your name and address, and you'll have 3 minutes. Thank you.
So I'm basically speaking on behalf of some of the other people because, you know, I'm actually a banker, formerly a construction loan expert with Bank of America, currently with Union Bank. So in hearing you just now, there's actually three critical path items: one, tree removal; two, CEQA, you know, the California Environmental Group; and thirdly is financing. The third element, financing, given that I'm a lender and a banker, is actually quite a critical one, and also because due to the global financial crisis, most lenders such as Bank of America, Chase, Wells Fargo, Citibank, Union Bank are not even doing construction loans. So once you get all the first two hurdles passed, one has to source debt funding, if not paying cash, to actually do the project. So it seems like three of those things need to happen simultaneously. And I appreciate your point is, what if you rip the trees down and then you can't get your CEQA approval? Then what? And then what happens if you get your permit plus your CEQA, and then you go to the banks and find out, oh, Bank of America and Chase aren't even doing construction loans. And then you're flailing around trying to find a lender to get the money, unless you're fortunate enough to pay all cash. So the purpose of me coming is just to help make sure you all make the right decision. And it seems like the project's been underway for 3 years. The trees have been there for hundreds of years. So, yeah, and financing, given the poor economy, is a ways off also. So there, to me, it doesn't seem to be an urgent matter to rip these trees out right now. You know, good, you know, thoughtful thinking from all parties will probably, at the end of the day, come up with the best solution. So that was my purpose of coming, just so it's well thought out. I'm not against building a house. That's no problem at all. That's what I do, is help people finance new houses. Just want thoughtful thinking to go into it, such that the right decision is made for all parties in the area. So it's a happy, friendly environment moving forward for all the neighbors, okay? So my 3 minutes is up, and I appreciate your consideration, and hope you all make the right decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ellis. Is there anyone else wishing to speak? Did the applicant wish to address something?
I can answer one question for sure. On the financing, we've got it already. We don't need a bank.
Okay. Thank you. That answers a question. Okay. Does anyone have any questions for the arborist of record? If you would like to, if you'd like to just say a few words, you're welcome to come to the podium. Thank you.
Yeah, we've been.
And please let us know your name and where you're from.
My name is Robert Schreiber, and I'm a certified arborist in San Luis Obispo County.
Okay.
I live in Morro Bay. And I've been working with the mill houses on this project for quite a while. They actually have changed the access route probably three times, trying to avoid trees. And
we're in unison. A couple of things got
changed because of the road changing a couple of times. So I know it's in here, but I don't have my big plot with me.
Yeah, the reason I ask is you list that as a blue oak in good condition, and my question had to do, is that a critical tree, or is there something that can be done to hold on to that one because of the condition that it's in?
The condition is definite. If I remember the tree correctly, the condition is in a definite hazard. It has two codominant leaders in the tree, if it's the tree I'm thinking of.
No, it shows as an 8-inch, 27 feet high.
Possibly, Callie, do you have information that could speak to that?
Yes, the tree 23 is this one located right here, sort of where the road bends around the corner of the property. So I believe this tree needs to come out because it's the only way to squeeze the road through that location. There is a cluster of oak trees around there. Tree 23 is an 8-inch blue oak that's located pretty close to the road. So that was the reason for that one needing to come out.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Commissioner Schmidt.
Yes. Blue oaks are characterized as really, in terms of the oaks that we deal with in this area, pretty small oaks in terms of stature, correct?
Not necessarily. Depends on how old they are and the type of the soil and stuff like that. A lot of times they'll sprout in the soil that is prone to get oak root fungus and stuff, and they'll just fall over. But there's some blue oaks in this area that are huge. And there's some very nice heritage trees, especially in Paso Robles. They start getting thicker as you go over the grade, actually.
Mm-hmm. I guess what I was leading towards was that I would imagine that a lot of the effect on the trees is something vertical. And we were talking about the city fire department and they have a vertical clearance requirement as well as a horizontal clearance requirement. So from my experience with blue oaks, they're typically shorter than the Lobatas and the other ones that we have. I can imagine them being affected that way more than, again, horizontally.
Most of the trees that are being taken out are actually more of a straight-up stature, except for a couple of them that are on the ends of the trees. So basically, in the center, the trees are a little more straight up and down because they're closer together. They're more one-sided, stuff like that, depending on where a bigger tree was in front of them and stuff like that. So what they did was they just tried to pick a direction that was avoiding most of the trees and the root space of some of the larger, bigger trees.
And then the one that the applicant talked about at the entrance or where the crossing of the creek is, he talked about there being a severe angle on that particular tree. Is that the way you would characterize it too?
A severe angle? Yes, it does have a severe angle. The lean is towards the creek, though. So it's not the one right at the entrance where they're going to put the...
He mentioned that there was one blue oak where the creek crossing was. And that
has a stability. It'll push cement around or something later, too, if it's not stabilized.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Schreiber.
Okay.
Is there anyone else from the public wishing to speak on this matter? Okay, I will close public comment and bring it back to the commission for a motion or a conversation.
Yes, I'd like to make a motion that the Planning Commission adopt Resolution PC 2010-0010 to allow the removal of 16 native trees subject to conditions of approval.
Second.
We have a first by Vice Chairperson Benz and a second by Commissioner Colin Marino. And if I could just state that, with Mr. Ellis's points were well taken, and as we've said tonight, as we heard from Callie, the tree removal will not happen until the permits are gathered. And so for the permits to be granted, the CEQA document has to be accepted by all of the agencies, so the trees will not be taken out unless the CEQA ends up fine and they go forward, and then clearly the applicant has said they have financing. So with that, roll call, please, Annette.
Vice Chairperson Benz?
Yes.
Commissioner Colomarino?
Yes.
Commissioner Jack?
Yes.
Commissioner Ward?
Yes.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes, and I'd like to say that I appreciate the comments that Mr. Ellis brought forward to us. I think it achieved what he stated he wanted to have, which was more of a transparent discussion about things going on. And so I thank him for that time.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yes.
And Chairperson Moreno?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay.
And on to our public hearings.
Ready?
Yes.
Okay. Moving on to our next item. This item before us tonight is the La Plaza Cinema and Retail Project. There's two items before the commission tonight. There's a proposed conditional use permit, and then there's a road abandonment. The commission will be making recommendations on both those items to the city council. So let's just start out by discussing where the project is located. This is the project site right here. The address is 6490 El Camino Real. Consists of about five parcels. These parcels are owned by the Hoff family that's historically owned these for a number of decades. This is the site where the North County Christian Thrift Store burned down last year. In addition to the thrift store, there's also the old barbershop building that's still standing. There's the Malibu Brew, as well as the cellular tower that's in the back there. You can see it's on El Camino Real. It's across from the Sunken Gardens and the rest of the downtown area. There's a feat. In addition to the theater, there's two retail spaces up here along El Camino Real that are about 2,300 square feet. And then kind of back behind the theater entry lobby is a sit-down restaurant space of approximately 4,300 square feet. So the whole building's designed to have a downtown character presence where the building is right against the sidewalk. There'll be the large entry lobby right across from the Sunken Garden. There'll be a small landscape buffer area along the back against Highway 101. These are the elevations of the building. We did hold a joint session with the Planning Commission and the City Council last month, so a lot of this is review, I know, for the Commission, but I'm going to go over these points again for you. This is the artist rendering of the elevations. It's a stucco building, as I mentioned, with the storefronts and the architectural detailing along the sidewalk. There's two significant tower elements that are meant to be architectural landmark-type features. Marquee signage incorporated that you'd typically see associated with a theater. We do also have the four elevations that are included in your staff report. There's a couple project issues that we're going to be talking tonight with the Planning Commission about. The main issues with this project are the request for the height restriction waiver, the project parking, economics related to the project, deferred plan submittals, tree removal, and road abandonment. So the first issue will be the height restriction. In this area of the downtown, there is a 18-foot high height restriction that was adopted as part of the redevelopment plan in 2000. The purpose of that was to maintain kind of an open window corridor between the historic City Hall and US 101. We discussed this quite a bit at the study session. Due to the vegetation that's grown in the right-of-way, that view corridor really doesn't exist anymore. And the request tonight is basically to waive that requirement and allow a taller building. Under the city's height ordinance, as part of the zoning ordinance, the commission does have the ability to grant a height waiver. The applicant is requesting a waiver that would allow the building to be between 40 feet for the main structure, and then the towers would be up to 72 feet in height. This diagram right here basically shows the area of the height restriction in the downtown. So within this blue box area, which includes the proposed theater project right here, this is where the 18-foot height restriction exists in the downtown. The rest of the downtown does not have that type of height restriction where 45-foot tall buildings would be normally allowed. And then we've presented this to the commission before just for comparative purposes. Basically, the height of this building, the mass of it, is very similar to that of the Carlton Hotel. So the main roof line is about 40 feet tall, which is fairly similar to the top plate line for the Carlton Hotel. The tower elements are a little bit taller, but that kind of gives you an idea of the mass and scale of this building. The second issue is parking. In this area downtown, there is a specific exemption for Tascadero Creek where the Colony Square project is and Hotel Park, Office Park. Those do have a parking requirement. So I know we have a theater under construction here and a theater proposed here, but there's different parking requirements for those two projects. So those projects have been conditioned somewhat differently. The reason that parking wasn't required by the zoning ordinance, the theory there was to help with the revitalization of the downtown, was to encourage development and reuse of old buildings where there weren't large surface lots, and it's an area where large surface lots disrupt the character of a downtown. So that's why that condition has been waived in the zoning ordinance. Now, although the parking's not required, it is potentially a neighborhood compatibility issue. As part of the conditional use permit that's before you tonight, the commission does need to make a finding that this use permit will be consistent or not have a neighborhood compatibility issue. So that is one of the findings that you need to make, that this project, including its parking impact, won't create a significant neighborhood impact. We have at a staff level done a parking analysis of the project. We had a parking study done a couple years ago by a parking consultant. They did provide staff with a model that would calculate parking demand for mixed-use projects in the downtown zone. So we have run that model on the project. What we've determined is that the peak parking requirement for this project, because it's a theater, tends to be 8 p.m. on weekends. And throughout the year, the parking demand will vary. The average parking demand for a weekend evening for this project looks like it's about 160 parking spaces. Under also the recommendations of the parking study, what it says is that larger projects that need 50 spaces or more should provide 25% of that required parking. So what we are recommending that the Planning Commission do is condition the project that basically 25% of their required parking, which is 40 spaces, be provided somewhere within a vicinity of 500 feet of the property, and that also their sixth required handicapped accessible parking spaces also be provided. So the condition that we're recommending is that 46 off-street parking spaces be provided within 500 feet of the project site. Those could be provided on any lot owned by any other owner. We would just require some sort of easement or long-term agreement that clearly makes those available for the employees or customers of the theater. Another issue that came up during the study session was the need for a passenger loading zone in front of the theater so that people could be dropped off easily there. So that's also been added as a recommended project condition. Moving on to economics. I know this was an issue that was discussed at the study session and has been discussed quite a bit in the community. Right now we have two proposed theaters which would result in a total of 20 screens within our downtown area. We have the 10 screens currently under construction outdoors here at the Colony Square project, and then the 10 that are proposed with this project. The city currently has no policies or create a blight situation. So as we move forward with the Walmart EIR, we will be doing an economic analysis of that project because there's a concern that could create blight if it affects another commercial center. We don't believe that this project has the potential to create blight within the downtown. Therefore, we don't meet that CEQA threshold. That's another reason we don't have a study. There was discussion at the study session about the need for some more information on just how film distribution is done. We've provided a little bit of information as an attachment to your staff report regarding that issue. Our next issue would be the deferred plan submittals. As we discussed at the study session, this is somewhat of a modified CUP package. It doesn't have all the exhibits that we typically see. The council did give us direction to move forward without that, so we've conditioned those to be deferred submittals. So the items that we don't have tonight that will be coming back in the future for either staff or commission review will include the color and materials board, a sign plan, a grading and site accessibility plan, a storm drainage and low impact development plan, a utility plan, a landscape plan, and then a lot line adjustment. So those are the deferred submittals that are conditioned as part of the project to be done at a later date. Staff is recommending conditions, as I just mentioned. Conditions 10 through 19 basically deal with those deferred items that I just mentioned. What I do want to point out is we are recommending that the architecture and the landscape come back for Planning Commission review so that the Planning Commission does have the ability to have the final say just based on the significance and size of this building. And that would happen basically during the building permit review process. Tree removals, there is one small 6-inch white oak that's in one of the front landscape planters that is proposed for removal. It's conditioned to pay a $200 mitigation fee for the removal of that tree. And then the road abandonment, I'm going to turn this over to the city engineer to review this part.
Good evening, Commission. As Warren said, there's two two areas of road abandonment on this project. First, there's a strip of land along El Camino Real that was dedicated for road purposes and landscape purposes. And then also the north half of the Atascadero Avenue right-of-way north of the Main Street office. This Atascadero Avenue piece was originally shown on the colony maps when it was originally subdivided. And through a kind of a murky series of property transfers, in 1982, the Superior Court judge ruled that that the Hoff family received that property from, it was Gordon Davis at the time, but it was a murky series of transactions that are not real clear, but clearly the judge did. As you know, there is in the diagrams, there's a strip of land south of the Main Street office. There is basically a median-type parcel owned by the city, and then there's the right-of-way on the north half. It is in excess of what we need to provide those businesses and those properties along that segment of road. It's in excess of what they need to provide access to their properties. So in that sense, staff can recommend that there is excess right-of-way in that area. There are utilities, some storm drains, and other issues that do need to be cleaned up prior to the council's final action. And you'll notice in your conditions of approval, we've recommended that the applicant be required to provide the utility easements, storm drain easements, public road easements for the remaining portion of the street that'll remain there. We want those in hand because once the council acts and approves the road abandonment, at that point, that becomes their property. And so they could immediately fence it off or do, whatever they wanted. It's basically their property. So we're asking that that those easements, those utility relocations, be defined prior to council's action and that we get those easements in hand in a recordable condition so that there's no gaps. If they change their mind, they don't build the project and sell it, we just don't want to miss the opportunity to clean all of this up. With the plans being submitted being fairly preliminary, we're not as confident as we typically would be when we come to you with a project of this magnitude of having all exactly pinpointed all the underground utilities in the area. And again, that just leads us to wanting to resolve that before it goes to council and receive final approval. But as far as it is abandonment, we can recommend to you tonight that that the portions of right-of-way that they're requesting to be abandoned are in fact excess right-of-way.
Thank you, Russ. In terms of the environmental review, as I mentioned, proposed mitigated negative declarations been posted and circulated on the project. The review period for that ends tonight at this meeting. So we haven't received any significant or any comments related to the mitigated negative declaration to date. There is one cleanup item that we're recommending, condition number 6. There's a reference to the wrong building on there, so it should read a lot line adjustment shall be recorded prior to the issuance of any permits for the theater building. So we'd recommend the commission make that change to condition 6. We are recommending that the commission adopt the two attached draft resolutions. The first would recommend approval of the use permit to the city council, and the second would recommend approval of the road abandonment to the city council. In terms of alternatives, the commission could recommend a revised project to the city council, so you can change the conditions as you see fit. You may also decide that you want to recommend denial of the project because it's a use permit. So meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Director. Why don't we go with questions of staff, and why don't I just kind of come down the line and see who maybe has questions. Commissioner Ward, do you have any questions of staff right now?
Well, Well, I have several questions, but I'll limit it to one. I was at that joint meeting, and I'm not aware of any
I apologize. I needed to begin with ex parte. So why don't we go ahead? We had a couple of items in our packet that are filed in the back for everyone to see. Other than that, let me start. Commissioner Ward, any ex parte?
None.
Commissioner Calamarino?
None.
None.
In March, I had received a letter from Baffin Commercial Development Group. They are a consultant to Galaxy Theaters, and he expressed disapproval with regards to this project and the adverse effect that it could have on Galaxy Theater. And then I don't know the exact date, but probably around 6 months or so ago, I did meet with Mr. Shearer and Mr. Rausch, and they showed me the project and explained everything to me and just reviewed it in that way.
I've not had any recent discussions with anybody relative to this. However, I did back in the initial phase was invited to a meeting to see what the project looked like and to see the vision. And other than that, I've had no real discussion on it with anyone.
I received an email from Wanda Bolt in not in favor of this project, and then also an email from a George Schroff, and that was also in our package.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes, when this project first kind of hit the newspapers, I walked over Peabody Plum and I talked to Mr. Shearer briefly about it. And when I did, it was more from a professional standpoint. And that's the only ex parte that I've had.
Okay, thank you. So, Commissioner Ward, I interrupted you. Please continue.
Okay, I'll restart the engine here. I have several concerns about this, but I'd like to revisit that joint meeting we had, and maybe I didn't hear it, but I sure didn't hear any direction, quote, given by City Council not to have an economic study. And I personally think that that there should be one for several reasons, and I'd like to know where the staff came up with this idea that they received no direction from City Council.
Well, we did take fairly detailed notes of it, and we did get a number of direction points, but there was not direction to prepare an economic study.
Well, that's not my recollection, but that's okay. It wouldn't be the first time. I have several more issues, but I'll defer to my colleagues. They may ask the same questions.
Okay, and again, any questions of staff? Commissioner Calamarino?
Yes. I just like to try to get this in perspective. Now, as I understood it from the joint of the development, will not go forward without the rest of the development, and the rest of the development will not go forward without this component. So anyway, I just want to put that on the record, and we can discuss that further with the applicant. But I think that's directly relevant to this parking question because as I understand it, the staff is saying that a certain amount of parking spaces have to be provided within 500 feet of the theater. Is that right?
That we're recommending the condition. It's not a hard and fast requirement, but that would be consistent with the parking consultant's recommendations from a couple years ago to provide 25% of the parking for a required project of this size. We're recommending that be within 500 feet, which is a fairly easy walking distance for an average person.
Okay. But the applicant here doesn't control all the land within 500 feet of this project. Isn't that right?
Yeah, they may not control any. So they would then need to negotiate with different owners to acquire those parking rights.
So then, as I understand it, before a building permit would be issued, this condition would have to be satisfied by the applicant showing that they have somehow commitments that ensure that this addition, this parking will be available within 500 feet. Do I understand this correctly?
Yeah, we would be looking for some sort of legal agreement or easement before we issued permits. That's what we did for the Carlton Hotel.
And some of these spaces actually might be on land that they do control in the adjoining lots. Is that your expectation?
That's a possibility.
And again, we can ask them about that. Now, the next thing I want to ask about is the deferred plan submittals. The normal practice, I understand, is for everything to come in at once on a CUP application without any deferred plan submittals. Do I have that correct?
Yeah, that's the typical procedure.
But instead here, we're departing from that typical practice. Is there a reason that you have for proposing that we proceed in this manner?
Well, this is a request that the applicants made. They do have concerns about the overall feasibility of the project and even the question about whether the city was going to approve a second theater. So they really wanted to resolve that question, get that answered before they went through the entire design development process of creating all the plan sets. So that is the reason they've made this request.
And they recognize, I assume, that it's possible that this can all be approved here. This part of the CUP application can be approved, but that later on the architecture and landscape elements will come back to the commission for consideration for the first time, and they would have to get the approval of the commission on those parts of the project.
Yeah, basically, there's a concept for the landscape that colors the exact materials, how the signs go on the building. Those details aren't worked out yet, and we're going to bring those back so that the commission can have final approval of those items.
So the architecture we'll be approving would be the scale, the shapes of the buildings. What else?
You're approving the overall size, the overall height, mass, and character, but not the individual details of colors, material, signs, that sort of thing.
I see. And when it comes to landscape, are we expected to approve a concept for landscape tonight?
And that's included in your report as well. That's basically what's shown on the screen, which is just some sort of general landscape area along the freeway and then some sort of streetscape along the frontage that would be decorative paving and planting, but there's no details in terms of exactly how that comes back. So that's what, you know, we would bring back to you is it pavers? Is it stamped concrete? Is it palm trees? Is it, you know, exactly what the details of the street are going to be? We'd have that information later.
Okay. Now, another thing I want to ask about, and I guess this goes to Public Works. There was a statement, we're not as confident as usual about, I think you were referring to the utility rights of way or something like that. Could you just elaborate on that? I want to make sure I understood that correctly.
In a typical submittal, we would get a utility plan that would specifically identify all of the existing utilities, storm drains, water lines, sewer lines. They have submitted a topographic survey that identifies some of those items. And then we do have, you know, record drawings and as-built plans of some of the area. So we have some of the parts and pieces put together, but there has not been really the level of detail that we would normally have to pinpoint that.
Okay. But before building permits are issued, you're going to pin that down?
Absolutely.
Okay. And as of now, you're confident, I think you did say, with respect to the rights of way, giving those up and the easements relating to the road abandonment issue?
Yes. They've submitted a title report, and we have tried to, you know, pull all of the information together as best we can. But that's part of the conditions of approval for the road abandonment, is that level of detail is submitted. Those new easements are submitted, signed, recordable documents are submitted so that when the council is ready to approve it, if they approve it that night, the abandonment, you know, exists. The right-of-way goes away. So in the sense of a fair exchange, giving up the public right-of-way, we've got to protect those utility interests and right-of-way issues that we would ask that those be prepared and presented in a form that when the approval goes through, we could go down the next day and record those documents.
Thank you.
And I'm just kind of going down the road here. Vice Chairperson Benz, do you have any questions right now?
Not at this time.
Thank you. Commissioner Jack?
Yes. A clarification on the parking, the 25%. Director, you, if I remember.
Zone currently.
Okay. Thank you. I have a question on the width and length of the drop-off area that's currently being recommended. Has that been finalized, or is that still something to be determined?
That's to be determined, so we'll work with the city engineer to determine the correct dimensions of that.
Okay, and then the only other question that I have is relative to the road abandonment, because the road abandonment is kind of final. I mean, if something happens down the road and want to come back, I mean, it's gone. I mean, we have it today. If we abandon that right of way, then so I'm trying to, is there any way within the construction or somehow to tie performance to the abandonment or something of that nature? I can't think of anything, and I've tried to get hold of the attorney, but he was not available to me today, and I've been out of town, so I didn't get a chance to ask him earlier.
Yeah, I think that to protect those rights, that they are going to have to commit to that line that is going to remain, you know, what is public sidewalk, what is public street that is exchanged. We're going to have to work out those details here in the coming weeks so that they're going to have to commit to it, and we will have to be satisfied that it provides for the public, you know, right-of-way and utilities. Again, it's kind of an awkward situation, but that's the only way that we can, you know, since that approval will abandon that right-of-way, it will go away when the council approves it.
Okay. So there's still another a point of discussion on this where the attorney will be available, and by that time I would assume that enough research has been done so that we can get...
And he briefly looked at this staff report and weighed in on some of the issues, and there were modifications made to the staff report and the conditions of approval based on his input.
Okay.
But I think here, in the, you know, depending on your recommendation tonight and how the hearing goes, that I'm sure he will spend additional time on it.
Okay, and then one last question. Director Frace, are we approving the palm trees tonight?
They aren't actually shown on the plans. They're just shown on that architectural rendering, so there is no palm trees actually shown on the site plan at this point, so you're not actually approving that. That would be a detail that I would expect to come back on the final landscape plans at a future date.
Thank you. That's all I've got.
And one second, just to follow up on what Commissioner Jack asked about the right-of-way. Abandoning that right-of-way, there still is a public access, a public right-of-way that would be easements that would be within that abandonment.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Because if they develop the full project and they do obtain properties to the south and the entire plaza areas under their control, they're going to have the right to use it for a roadway.
Mm-hmm.
Was not extinguished in accordance with the Streets and Highways Code. They have, but I should have noted that they have been paying taxes on that property since that time when the judgment was rendered and the property was deeded to them from Gordon Davis. The Haw family has been paying property taxes, which is unusual, you know, for a road right-of-way.
And then the south part of Atascadero Avenue, that's going to leave access to Shores and Main Street, and that's where that is going to be remain open.
Yes.
Thank you.
Commissioner Schmidt.
You know, and I wasn't going to talk about the road vacation because city engineer had, we had spoke earlier and had settled some things in my mind. However, why not do both halves of the street at this time and have them grant back an easement to the shores and to the other uses there? I have a particular concern about the, you know, the exhibit that we see up there on the screen is shown right across from Sunken Gardens. And here's this nice piazza, this nice element. But for whatever reason, if the additional properties couldn't be acquired, that piazza might not be there. And but if they had control over both halves of the street, then maybe there could be something that they could add to it. And so it just kind of popped in my mind just now. I do have concerns. I'd like to talk about the West Wall and the discussion that is in the report about additional articulation being provided to the West Wall so it won't be utilitarian, as you, I think the words were used. Earlier you discussed about the height restriction and why it was placed there, the 18-foot height restriction, because we wanted to see that corridor to the City Hall. And then you commented that the vegetation has grown since that policy had been adopted. And I just wanted to state that, I mean, the vegetation could also disappear in the same amount of time that it took to grow to make the impediment that we have now. So I'm very much concerned about that backside of that building and what it might look like. In fact, I'm more concerned about not seeing not necessarily seeing City Hall, but driving by some areas, and you get the back of buildings, and they just look dumpy. And so I'm concerned about that. We had a visual exhibit that says, here's the relationship of this 40-foot building to the Carlton, to the City Hall. Here's where the cell tower is. I haven't found anything beyond, I guess I should have looked it up myself and discovered it myself, is the relationship of the 40 feet that's being proposed for that west wall to the freeway. How much of it's going to be seen? Is it going to be 10 feet? Is it going to be 12 feet? Is it going to be 8 feet? I mean, we're measuring 40 from the ground. The freeway is up, what, 25 feet? And so, again, that wall is very much concerned. And also at the joint meeting that we had, I brought up the subject about signage on that wall, and the applicant had offered that they didn't want to put signs there. So I'm wondering why we can't add in the mitigation. So that's passing through my mind and quite heavily. The next is the discussion on air quality. And in the initial study, there's a statement in there that the APC standard mitigations have been, and most of the APCD mitigation measures have been incorporated into the project description. I'm wondering, do we know which ones are not? And the CEQA handbook that the APCD has focuses on site development, on energy efficiency, and transportation. And they have, as you know, there's standard mitigations that they have in place for projects like this. Some have been incorporated, some have not. Do you know which ones have not?
Well, I went through the whole APCD handbook with this project, and the overall theme of the handbook is infill compact development in pedestrian-oriented zones, and that is by definition what this project is. It's designed to be accessible by all forms of transit. We have bus stops. We have bike routes there. It doesn't even have a parking lot. It's designed to be a pedestrian building. It is an infill of an existing site. So it meets all those criteria in terms of energy efficiency. Just based on meeting Title 24 now, you're going to have a very efficient building just by definition. So that, you know, meets the other criteria. So I was fairly comfortable looking at the APCD handbook, recommending that we don't add any additional mitigation for greenhouse gas or air pollution issues, just based on that it meets most of the criteria that they've laid out for an ideal project.
Okay. Will there be an IRBEMA study performed?
No.
That was no?
What was that question?
No.
An IRBEMA study is, a report that's recommended by the Air Pollution Control District for projects like this, and it does an analysis on pollutants, on NOx, oxides and so on that come up from a project, whether to transportation and so on. And it'll come and make recommendations that if it, you exceed these thresholds, it'll reduce here, reduce there, and you go from and work from there. It gives you information. Despite your discussion about looking at the handbook and finding that it does meet generically the statements about infill, there's a statement in the book that talks about a finding being made that is consistent with the Clean Air Plan. I wasn't able to find anything that in our initial study that discussed that.
Yeah, I don't know if we put a discussion in there about that. And just to note that we haven't received any comments from APCD, so they were referred this document. They've had 20 days to provide comments.
And that's actually good news. With respect to the parking, 500 feet's being measured from any point on the parcel?
Yeah, any perimeter of the property boundary.
So I looked at that. I mean, under ownership right now would be the Peabody Plum parking lot is within 500 feet. 500 feet extends the length of the block between Entrada and West Mall, so that whole back parking area would be within 500 feet. It would contain maybe...
Commissioner Jack has one more question.
The question I had has been answered already, but I did have another one on signs, so... And, you know, the sign ordinance is something I've got an issue with. Yet the signs are not going to come back before this commission. Is that correct, Director Frase?
The signs are part of the architecture package. Okay. They will come back before the commission.
Thank you.
Okay. And I have a couple of questions myself. I'm wondering, Mr. Athey, could you address some of the low-impact development features that will be on the project?
Certainly. I don't have specific items, specific low-impact development items. Low-impact development, for those who don't know, are methods to reduce the impacts to stormwater in our community, basically to reduce pollutant loading in our stormwater. So the applicant could do things like run downspouts into planted areas, or you know, the landscaping in the rear of the facility could be modified to contain stormwater, detain it on site, things like that. So we plan on working with them when they come in with their landscaping, grading, and frontage improvement plans.
And the site as it currently exists, is there anything on there that you would term low impact development?
Not at this time.
Okay. Thank you. And, Director, during the joint session, I know that the mayor had asked one of the topics that be addressed was film distribution, and so we have a lot of that information in this packet. And I know specifically one thing that Mr. Rausch had spoken to was that when you have two theaters that are in a close proximity or in the same town, that companies will distribute, I don't want to say evenly, but, you know, some will go to one and some will go to the other, so that it doesn't become, okay, this theater gets it all and this one gets nothing. And is that something that staff looked at in the research that was done?
Staff did do some research on it. We were concerned about that issue. And film distribution seems like it is somewhat of an art. It's hard to get a real handle on exactly how it works. But from what we heard and we're able to piece together, it does seem like that the film distributors will work with multiple theaters, and they like to spread the movie product around. They don't, you know, just want to put everything in one theater. So it seems like that what Mr. Rausch told you is more or less what we were able to verify.
Okay. I appreciate that. And then lastly, there was something, let's see, section 6.4 back in the, basically it talks about phasing of construction. And I imagine that all of that construction really is going to be on site. It's not, the streets aren't going to be affected. I'm thinking of last fall when we were redoing all the roads and right before Colony Days, and I know there were a lot of issues with, you know, some of the downtown businesses really suffering during that. So I would imagine that any construction here, phased or not, isn't going to impact the other businesses in terms of roads and parking. I want to be clear on that.
Well, giving out films to one competitor and another, that might well be the practice. I certainly don't know about that. But I will say this. If there were some kind of an agreement between two or more parties, providing that films were going to be allocated in this manner, it would raise an issue under the antitrust laws because it could be deemed an agreement in restraint of trade under the Sherman Act. So while that may well be the practice, distributors may want to do that to keep two competitors going in a market. If there is some kind of a contract or even a tacit agreement, it could raise antitrust issues.
Point well taken, and I was curious as to sort of what the general practice is. Thank you for bringing that up. Okay, so I think we are through with questions, and Commissioner Schmidt, before we go to public comment, you have something to say.
Yeah, and I just wanted to kind of throw this on the table so a public comment might be able to address it also. And that is, I'm unsettled with the deferred portion of the architectural details, more specifically than anything else. I ask myself, where does this end, and what happens when the next person asks, I want the same treatment as the last person? And the scenario that I envision is that if the CUP gets approved, it, with the concept drawings that were provided here in front of us, he's doing this, as he told us at the workshop, is for the purpose of getting funding and getting some things going, some financing going. So it kind of begs the question to me that he's going to take this information to someone, try to get some lending, maybe secure it. We don't know his financial or their financial situation. We don't know the discussions that are going to go on behind the closed doors. And so what happens if the lender doesn't give as much as is needed to create the envisioned project? I know they want to build it as we're seeing it, but what if that doesn't happen? Or what if they can't borrow that amount to create this vision that is being presented to us? So what I'm asking myself then is where that's going to posture us and the City Council in the future when plans are brought back to us and we're going to say we might not like them. We want to do this, we want to do that. And the response will be, I can't afford it. And then where is that going to posture, again, us and the city? And will we be impeding progress or stopping economic development because we want to see something else and they can't afford it? And, oh, by the way, we have this conditional use permit right in front of us now that allows us to go forward, but you're stopping us because you don't agree with what we're doing. So that concerns me. And so what assurances do we have from the applicants that they'll follow through with their good intentions and their promises to do so? I believe that they want to. And after all, the CUP itself becomes a commodity after it gets approved. I mean, they could sell it to someone else. It carries with the land. Someone, you know, might offer the golden egg. Bye-bye. I'm out.
So that we are trying to be a little more business-friendly than maybe a Atascadero has been in the past. And I think what that allows them to do is to say, okay, if we're going to put X amount of dollars into all of this, we need to know that we're not going to be stopped on this initial piece of it. And so if they know that the CUP with the theater would go through, then they can spend, and I don't know how much it is, $100,000, $200,000, whatever. But if not, then why would they go spend that money? And so I think it's an attempt to work with an applicant, again, at the direction of council. And I see what you're saying, that it could come back and say, well, you're being unfriendly. Well, no, you know, we're keeping you to your word, and here's what we're going to base our decision on, you know, when it comes down to the architecture, and that's just a decision that will have to be made at that time.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to kind of throw that on the table. I mean, I support the project, and I was just wondering if other commissioners had concerns. I'd like to follow up, though, with a question of staff, and that has to do with the how this deferral has occurred. I was at the joint session with the City Council, and I remember the statements being made. Is that the forum for the City Council to make those statements? I mean, is there a legal mechanism that they have to use to, say, defer this, or can they just wave a wand and say, do this?
There isn't a standard process or procedure to request deferring certain exhibits or drawings. Ultimately, the decision is at the Planning Commission right before you right now. You can decide that you have enough information, or you could decide that you need more information and send it back for more information. So that's really how it works. The reason that we have brought it forward this way and we are recommending it this way is based on the feedback we did get from the council at the study session, is they were supportive of this approach. So we are now recommending it to the Planning Commission. But ultimately, every time a CUP is in front of you, you have to make the decision as to whether you have enough information to make a decision or not.
So this discussion about deferring drawings and things that are required for the CUP could apply to anyone as long as they had the City Council basically give the direction. For instance, the annex could come forward and say, I want to defer these because I don't know if it's affordable and I want to get ahead and know a little bit first, and the council could do that to them too at the same time.
I believe that's possible.
Okay, thank you.
And I don't even think it's so much as affordable. It's, do we want to put this money into it if we're not going to get the CUP for the theater?
Well,
so
I used the wrong word. Yeah, I understand okay. what it's for.
Okay, thank you. And Vice Chairperson Bentz?
Yes, a question to staff. You have conditioned this project with enough conditions to guarantee that we will be reconsidering architectural, landscaping, parking, all of that stuff before this CUP becomes a CUP. Is that not right?
Before we issue building permits and vest the CUP permanently, yes, those
yes.
items will come back to the commission.
So I understand the questions for us to provide a means by which the project can move forward, because it is a commercial development within our community, and we do need business in our community. Thank you.
Can I respond?
If we've got some questions or new things to bring to the table, but I would like to get us to public comments, so if you could do it quickly.
Yeah, quickly. And I don't disagree with what you said, Commissioner Benz, and so I maybe as a commissioner comment, maybe we should revisit the CUP process and write it so anyone who comes to the table with the CUP has the option to have things deferred, because staff has done a fine job in evaluating this project, and therefore they could do it for other projects too, and I would support that.
Thank you. Commissioner Colomarino.
Yes, I want to respond to the point that Commissioner Schmidt was raising about some of the departures from the normal practice here. I mentioned it before. That is certainly something that concerns me, and I look forward to hearing the applicant explain why they want to proceed in this rather unusual manner, this piecemeal fashion. I think we all have a pretty good understanding why they do, but I think we need to have it on the record. But I think we need to bear in mind here that this is not just another project. This is a very important project in the very living room of this community. And yes, it is being treated somewhat differently, but there's a rule of equity. They say like things should be treated alike and different things should be treated differently. This is a special project. Just as Colony Square is a special project and got collateralization by cash from the city to move that project forward, because it is a critically important project to the downtown development. So I think that backdrop is relevant to what we're dealing with here, and to hear from the applicant what practical reasons are occasioning them to proceed in this manner, I think will be valuable.
We will ask them to address that. Thank you. And I think that we are ready for the applicant. What I'd like to do is just maybe take a brief rest break. Why don't we come back at 10 till the hour? Thank you.
How about another 90 minutes?
We need to go to Haven. We'll be back.
Thank you. And we are now opening public comment, and I will ask the applicant to come forward.
Good evening. Thank you so much for calling a break right before. You know, well thought out and well designed project. I know there's some phasing and economic questions that I'm sure will be addressed by the other people in our team. So in preparation for the planning and development of this design, Is that better?
Thank you.
Sorry. The history of Atascadero, the economic development strategy plan, the implementation plan summary, and, of course, your downtown design guidelines and municipal codes. Let's see. Should I just turn it off? Okay, great. And from all of these documents, we really strove to understand and try to support the city's goals and objectives for the downtown area and really focus on how this development can help revitalize and create a whole new chapter for Atascadero. So we studied the architectural context of the surrounding buildings, of course, the Carlton Hotel, the historic City Hall, and the neighboring retail buildings along the El Camino Real. And clearly stated in the economic development strategy, the downtown is the core of the city. And to realize its economic development goals, critical properties must be redeveloped. Sorry, I don't know which one to press for this. Oh, there we go. The southwest property facing El Camino is one of the most critical assets to the downtown, and it is our project site. Facing the sunken gardens with its exposure along the El Camino Real, it makes a strong contribution to set the character and the ambiance of the downtown. The proposed main use of the site must be a powerful enough magnet to attract the public, and then the scope must be large enough to establish the critical mass needed to attract the public back to the downtown. The project master plan proposes a state-of-the-art, all-stadium seating theater, and it's in this purple area here, called La Plaza Cinemas. The theater will feature 10 screens with approximately 1,400 square feet and 33,000 square feet. The curved entrance of the theater is focused toward the sunken garden with a large glass area opening up to the lobby and concession area. This planning reinforces the street edge and complements the critical mass of retail throughout the downtown. With the theater entrance facing the corner, it focuses the main attention towards the center of your town, the Sunken Gardens, and then the historic City Hall. This area right here is 40 feet, and the towers go from 52 here and then 72 there. Following the downtown design guidelines, the project emphasizes the pedestrian experience with such amenities as large retail storefronts, awnings, decorative light fixtures, street trees, and other street furniture. The facade details recall the historic buildings along El Camino Real, complementing the rhythm, materials, and adding details and decorative elements to further enrich and enhance the character of downtown. And even the project's name, La Plaza, has special historic significance. La Plaza recalls the historic commercial center of the town back in the 1920s when there was a large building called the Mercantile Building, whose name later became La Plaza. It was a neoclassical building located a few blocks away on Traffic Way and Alameda Avenue, and it featured everything from bakeries, furniture, and garment businesses. And it is the hope that with this new La Plaza building, it can again become the center of town, bringing people of Atascadero together for entertainment. And to honor the founding of Atascadero as California's first planned community by E.G. Lewis, we recall the style of architecture from the City Beautiful movement and give it this special name. Now, as movie theater architects for over 30 years, sorry, that was the Mercantile Building there. As movie theater architects for over 30 years, we have had the pleasure of working in many similar cities throughout California where new cinemas have successfully contributed to the revitalization of the downtown. For instance, here is our project in downtown Stockton, City Center Cinemas and Retail. This was a 16-plex project where we took over a public street and made a new piazza and transform the once deserted downtown area. Our 9-screen theater over retail on Pacific Avenue in Santa Cruz was also a key catalyst for the revitalization of this thriving area. And the 9-screen Jack London Square Cinemas in the Port of Oakland's redevelopment area has greatly enlivened this part of Oakland. Since then, many restaurants, a famous jazz club has come in, and it has become a really lively part of Oakland. And in Visalia, the 10-plex cinema has also contributed to the new healthy downtown activity. Most recently, the San Francisco Chronicle reported, this is not our project, but the new refurbished Alameda Theater has new movie theaters and has created a whole new life for their downtown for a lot of local stores and merchants. And even your neighboring downtown San Luis Obispo with its newly refurbished Fremont Theater and Downtown Center 7-plex has provided an economic development plan. Thank you very much for your support tonight. I had a couple of other things that I wanted to make sure we addressed that were some of the questions. You mentioned the street scape in front of the building, and it is our hope and desire to continue the already established design that is occurring on other sidewalks across the street. So we would, you know, like to encourage and complete that design throughout in front of this project as well. And in terms of phasing or anything else.
Ms. Yosugi, thank you very much. Let me see if the commission has any questions for you. And let me just to clarify specifically, you are the architect on this project. So from a standpoint of like an economic consultant or anything like that, you're just kind of speaking to your experience as an architect, but that's where your experience lies, is in the architecture, correct?
Exactly.
Okay. So do we have any questions for Ms. Yosugi, Vice Chairperson Benz?
Yes, since you're the architect, could you tell me how many phases that you've built into the construction of this site?
I would say that it would be in one phase. I mean, this doesn't really lend itself, and Dan, pipe in if you like, but I mean, it would be constructed as a whole. We can't really operate any part of the building as a standalone phase. Complete the entire project.
Thank you.
Commissioner Schmidt.
Yes. On the retail areas that are facing the street across from Entrada, it says in the notes that we have here that there are two retail spaces there?
That's correct.
Okay. And it just appeared to be one, and I was wondering if there was a dividing line there.
There could be two spaces. It could be one large retail space that is just, you know, dedicated for retail. And the reason for that to occur in that location, again, is to enhance what is currently on the street and to interject something that will break up the facade of the theater.
Yeah,
that,
it's very clear, and it's a nice feature to have added to it. Of the projects that you talked about that you've worked on, have any of them had deferred plans? Like we're discussing tonight.
Well, none of them had a conditional use permit.
Okay.
So it was really just going forward with one design. We did have a very interesting thing happen in the downtown Stockton Theater, and that was that we had to appear before the State Historical Society because of the importance of the neighboring buildings. And a previous development had tried for about 6 months to get their design passed and didn't happen. So we were able to step in with a new design and approach them, and were able to take care of it in one session.
The applicants have spoke to the public about a desire to develop the block from Traffic Way to the creek. Of the other projects that you've worked on, have they included other elements besides under the conditional use permit, but it extends to the rest of the block?
Mm-hmm.
And again, the developers have stated that the whole thing is going to be developed. I can't do one without the other, both ways. So the remaining areas to the north and to the south are then phased at some subsequent time after the development of this?
Well, originally, I will say, I mean, because we've all seen the plans that we've produced originally, there was a larger master plan that was looked at in the beginning, and I think this is the very key and critical component, the theater portion, in order for any of that other, the rest of the development to be viable. Otherwise, there would be a lot of retail there today.
And I think we can have the applicant speak to that again.
And I understand, and I understand why this is being done in that way.
I guess this is kind of the key link.
Thank you.
Commissioner Sturdivant.
Yes, with the homework you've done on the history of Atascadero and the styling, and it looks to me like this rendering here looks like kind of the almost the entire project that they were talking about. I would imagine you're very dedicated, or the project is very dedicated to keeping this flavor or this sense of the history of our city in the building of this complex, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Yosugi. Any of the other applicants or parties to the applicant wish to come forward?
Good evening. I'm John Rouse, 8500 Grays Creek Road in Atascadero. I'm the Central Coast Cinemas Incorporated on the Park Cinemas in Paso Robles. hopefully I can just put it on the record and answer your questions as I understand them. We went through the deferral, I guess you call it, process here because, number one, there was another theater being built in town. Number two, the city has backed that, rightly so. They backed it financially. You have a height restriction on this property. You have road easements on this that we need abandoned for this property. I need all the answers to these, whether this city is committed and will let me build a theater, whether you will take off the height restrictions, whether you will abandon the road easements, or I can't build a theater. If I can't build a theater, I can't do the project. So it's very simple. Am I interested in building a theater in Atascadero by itself? Absolutely not as a second theater in Atascadero, no. Am I interested in this project? Absolutely. This is good for Atascadero. I've lived here for 28 years. This is my hometown. I'm a resident. These are my friends, my family, my neighbors, and they've all been longtime customers of mine. I think this city deserves this project, not a second theater, this entire project. I won't build a theater on this site without the rest of the project happening. Built the theater, we became the catalyst for other things coming in. Restaurants came in. Now we've got wine bars and retail shops and everything else. And Paso is just booming and happy and a great, vibrant place to be, especially in the evening, but also during the day. When we built the theater, you could shoot a shotgun across town and not hit a car. I mean, that's kind of what we have here in Atascadero. Look at our restaurant situation, guys. We're sitting here trying to figure out where we're going to go to dinner afterwards, and there's nothing. I'm sorry. This project is going to make it work for the downtown. That's why I want to do it. So hopefully I've answered your question. I'm not building a theater without the project. The project is not going to happen without the theater. I'm not putting a bait and switch on you. I'm not saying, let me do this theater. You give me a CUP for a building, and I come back in and say, okay, we're going to turn it all into retail. That's not my business. I'm not interested. So I don't know how to put it any simpler than that.
Thank you, Mr. Rush. And if you could stay for a moment. Director, I'd like to clarify something. It just sort of clicked in with something that was said earlier. The remainder of the, you know, beyond this project, the remainder of the project that is planned to be built, that does not require a CUP. Is that correct?
Most likely it wouldn't unless it comes all in as one big piece. But if it's broken into smaller pieces on multiple parcels, most likely won't require an additional commission review.
Okay. And, well, that's I just heard Commissioner Schmidt say something about the height. So would the height restriction, would they need to come back for that as well? Or does that escape the height? I forget that drawing where you kind of showed where exactly that height restriction is.
Yeah, the height restriction could affect those other parcels.
So okay.
They may require a waiver depending on how big the buildings are.
So any of those, if they were over the 18 feet, would need to then?
That would require a commission waiver.
Okay. Mr. Rausch, the question just flew out of my head. Now I know. You know, sort of some of the questions coming about were, you know, why did you want the deferral? And as you said, there's the height restriction, there's the easements, there's all these issues that you need to know it's worthwhile to go forward with. Do you have an estimate of what it would cost to come before the commission with a full package, you know, and put it at risk of not getting the CUP?
Architect fees alone is probably in the neighborhood of $400,000 to $500,000.
Okay, so we're talking just right there, $500,000, and then whatever else it could be. And so I think that kind of answers the question being asked of why the deferral. And we're seeing that he could spend, you know, the applicants could spend well upwards of $500,000 into the millions, and then come before the commission and get a no answer, and then that money's gone.
Right, and we're not talking about building a retail building.
Right.
We're not talking. Something simple. This is a unique building. It's a unique business.
Right.
And again, it's very simple to see. Does this city have the you have the political power to say no to me. I mean, you don't have to waive the height restrictions. You can say,
right,
for whatever reason you decide you don't think it's
right. And that's what I
feasible. I mean, you don't know my business, but if you decide
right.
Aesthetic value to it, does it bother you that we don't want any signs on that wall? Or
doesn't bother me at all.
Okay.
Number one, I want to make the entire building pleasing. Again, I live here. I want to make it look good. I'm not walking in with a cinder. I'm not going to propose this and walk in with a cinder block building. You're going to get this if I have my say in it. On the west wall, it's just a freeway wall. You've got the trees. They're going to be there. There's no signage going to go on that wall. And I would, well, there's no signage going to go on the wall. Simple as that. My word.
Another question. You've heard this evening that we were talking about the 18-foot height, no off-street parking required, the parking analysis of 46 spaces, and the road abandonment, and the condition 6 that the staff mentioned on the lot line adjustment. Were you aware of that before tonight? Were you aware that the city was recommending to the command?
Were you aware of the conditions?
Yes.
Yes.
Are they acceptable to you?
Yes, absolutely. Shouldn't
Thank you.
Problem whatsoever.
Commissioner Colomarino.
Mr. Roush, first of all, just I'd like to ask you to bear with me a little bit. We'll be going over some of the same territory that we went over at the joint meeting with the city council, but I think it's important to do it because this meeting is being broadcast to a wider audience, and to have some of the information on the record more accessible to the public, I think will serve a benefit. Now, Chairperson Moreno was asking you about the need for you to get the deferral to avoid some architectural fees, to get basically a preliminary CUP, subject still to our possibly requiring other conditions relating to the architecture, the landscape later on. You want to do that now to avoid wasting expense on architectural fees. That's one reason, right?
Avoid wasting any expense, any monies doing this, including architectural fees, as well as probably many other expenses involved in this, without knowing that the theater is possible to build.
Now, what about financing? If you get a preliminary, if you get this CUP now, this what amounts to a preliminary approval, will this facilitate your securing financing?
No, I don't think so.
So,
I think it probably will facilitate my negotiations with property owners that they know something's going to happen and it's not pie in the sky and we're not going down the road in another 6 months before something comes before the Planning Commission. Is that financing? I guess so. Would it help me with bank financing? I don't think so because I'm going to have all the stuff that I'm going to have to bring to you again anyway to go to the banks.
So you don't.
I guess I don't quite know how to answer that. But
you don't anticipate get support from the city.
Do I? Am I planning on asking the city to put up money as guarantee for a loan? No.
Now, I also want to bring up the question of the economic viability because many members of the public have questioned whether Atascadero can support 20 screens. And whether there's going to be some infamous failure of one movie theater or another, or both, worst case scenario, both. Now, during the joint meeting, you explained your business plan and why you believe that 20 screens will, in fact, be supportable in this market in the years ahead. Would you mind explaining that again, so we have it on the record, please.
Sure. I would love to be the only theater in town. Obviously, I could leverage much less money, build the theater, and make a lot more money down the road. But I can also be profitable as a second theater because of where I think my business is headed in the first place, how I'm going to finance this in the second place, and what portion of the project, the overall project, I end up owning in the third place. There are... You want me to go through the whole thing?
Well, I think you told... let me try to move it along a little bit. I think you told us that you anticipate the market for motion picture exhibition expanding in the future because of changes that are occurring, one change being brought about by the advent of 3D, as represented most importantly by the recent success, the incredible success of Avatar. I think you mentioned also digital broadcasting and the markets that that's opening up. And so, as I understood it, you say you foresee a much bigger pie in the future for movie exhibition. Is okay. that a fair summary?
I'll try to be more brief than I was at the workshop. As one theater in, if there was one theater in Atascadero and one theater in Paso Robles, what you're going to get is we're both going to be playing the same product and doing the same entertainment experiences, period. That's all there is to it. We're both going to be playing Shrek, we're both going to be playing Avatar, we're both going to be playing Alice in Wonderland. I'll be playing in Paso, and my competitor in Atascadero will be playing it there. Building a second theater in Atascadero is a big move. You won't see this in small towns. In fact, I don't think you see many small towns with as many screens as I have in Paso Robles or Lemoore. But I also see that what's going to happen in Atascadero is we're going to become the film mecca for San Luis Obispo County. Now it's just simple to see. I have one theater in Atascadero. It's playing Oxen. My competitor's going to get half the product, and I'm going to get half from Warner Brothers. My competitor's going to get half, and we're going to fill up our theaters with the major products, and then all our other screens we're going to be doing something else with. We're either going to be holding over pictures that would have been coming off because we have 10 screens and we got to open a new one, or we're going to be playing art and foreign film, or we're going to be doing other entertainment possibilities like I discussed with digital projection. It opens up a huge field of where we can go with our industry. I told you about playing the Super Bowl in Lemoore. As a test run, I played the Super Bowl. Because we have digital projection, I can play anything that's on TV, play it on the screen. Just amazing. We'll be charging next year for the Super Bowl. And my guess is I'm going to fill up two houses at Lemoore alone, which is a smaller town than Atascadero, and be able to charge for it and have a party, and you guys are probably going to want to come because it's going to be so great. But there's other things. Not only, I guess, sporting events are a big one, but Ultimate Fighting, you have opera, New York Opera, New York Metropolitan Opera is offering, I think it's 12 of their live performances beam directly to theaters so they can show the live opera on the screen. That's a possibility. We have kids playing video games, paying to get into the theater to play video games or watch other people play video games on the big screen. They're playing against each other in different auditoriums. The possibilities are just huge. We could have conferences, video conferences, PowerPoint presentations on a huge scale. Not this. Oh, I don't mean to be negative. Big.
We take
a 40-foot wide screen and have PowerPoint presentations. So it opens it up to more... conferences and things like that. The possibilities are just become, like I said, endless. There's just so many things we can do, and I think that's a lot of where my business is going to end up going.
Okay, now one last point I just want to pick up on with that is now that we've all heard what you envision happening and why you're willing to put your money on the line for this kind of a venture, the other question is, you know, what happens if it doesn't work out? Is there a plan B? And I think we went into that, too, at the joint meeting. I just want to put that on the record as well. As I understood it, the way movie houses are now being built, they're basically being the structures are built as a box, and the inclined floor is achieved by putting styrofoam down, I think you said, and covering that with concrete, so that if the building has to be adapted back to some other use other than a movie theater, you can just jackhammer out that concrete, take out the styrofoam, and you're back.
You're not going to get both theaters to fail no matter what. One of them fails, okay. The other one's not going to. Galaxy has a lot more money than me, so it's not going to be Galaxy that fails. It's going to be me. I'm putting up my money to do this. If that happens, if I'm completely wrong, if I can't make it, those four screens, at least along El Camino Real, would be simple to convert to retail stores. You waste a lot of money, spend a lot of money on a theater, but it's doable. The interior could easily be the same thing with the boxes that we discussed. On the interior, turn it into a mall inside. Somebody suggested a bowling alley, ice skating rink. Who knows? It's a big building. Could be. Things could be done with it.
Thank you very much, sir.
I don't foresee it happening.
Okay, thank you. And Commissioner Sturdivant.
Yes, Mr. Roush, just a question about the tunnel that goes through to the high school. Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, it's inside that the courtyard area there. And is it open to this frontage? There, I was told there's going to be landscaping between the back of the building and the freeway. I was curious about loitering and the kids from the high school and those kind of issues. I didn't know what's going to be back there.
Do you mean loitering behind the buildings?
Yes. Yeah, so behind the building towards the freeway, there's going to be some landscaping.
And there's a fence.
Is there a fence there?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a tubular fence so that we can't have the loitering with the cell tower and everything that's behind there. Am I?
Oh, right now there's fencing. Yes, you can't get on the property because there's on the Hoff property. The Hoff property because of the fencing.
But what about with the project built? What is there?
Well, first this question security and. Mm-hmm. Security for the kids and vandalism, et cetera, has been brought up. All of my theaters now have security cameras everywhere. We got them inside, we got them outside, we got them everywhere but the restrooms, I guess. And it's 24-hour digital recorded cameras. We intend to do the same thing here. We intend to have, number one, I think it's going to be more safe because you're going to have a bunch of lighting back there. You're going to have parking. You're going to have people all day long and all evening up till 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning. We're going to have cameras on the back building, and we're going to have cameras on the front of the building. The wall where the pedestrian mall is going to be, you're going to have restaurants, we hope, on both sides. Outdoor seating. There was an opening going through that goes directly straight to the tunnel, so you'll be able to look through that opening to see the tunnel. I believe it's going to be a safer situation than what you have now. It's not well lit. Next to shores in the evening, it's dark back there. I think it's going to be a much better situation, in my opinion, in the future.
And if I may comment, condition 15 does say that a decorative and transparent tubular metal type fence shall be provided between the restaurant and freeway property line to discourage loitering behind the building. So, Director, does that take care of the issue that we're speaking to right now?
Yeah, I believe it does. We want to make sure that kids can't just wander behind the building from the ped tunnel, and that's the purpose of that fence.
In trouble. The restaurant's closed. There's a lot of parking area. Available But I envision down the road when this theater comes on, or maybe shortly thereafter, I can see the Carlton full. I can see that wonderful restaurant overflowing. And I ask myself, where are all the people going to park? Now, at the planning session, you said, well, you're going to arrange for some parking areas at the church and the school on the other side of El Camino. And I thought, well, that's pretty clever. And then my wife pointed out to me, she said, you know, a lot of senior citizens aren't going to want to hike all that distance. And what happens when the weather's bad? Are they going to have shuttle buses or what? So I'm still concerned about where everybody's going to park. The other concern, and you can answer both, the other concern I have is the economic thing. I can distinctly remember at this meeting, and I think a lot of good information came out, a lot of it came from you, that the question was asked, are the number of tickets that are sold, is this elastic to the number of screens? And the answer was no. It's determined by the entertainment budget of the people that live in town. So what I'm hearing you're saying is that your theater is going to increase the size of the market. Logic tells me that that may or may not be the case. Now, you're saying that, well, it's my money and I'm putting it at risk. But a lot of people have asked me about this, and I didn't solicit it, but they say, isn't this going to just damage a wonderful project that's going on now in Colony Square? And couldn't there well be blight in the city if that gets just shut down after the first phase? And maybe that's not a concern, but I'm concerned about it. So I'm intrigued by the fact that you, who have been in the business all these years, you have a very strong conviction that your theater is actually going to increase the market. And I'm not saying you're wrong, but logically, it doesn't make sense to me.
Thank you. May I address that?
Yes.
Logically, it would not be true if the market was maximized right now. Logically, it wouldn't be true if Galaxy maximized the market. If the one theater in Atascadero maximized the market. What I'm saying to you, it doesn't maximize the market. What I'm saying to you is people will go to the movie more often than they go now because they have more entertainment possibilities. I believe that. It's going to be true. When I had the only theater basically in the North County, when I had the Atascadero Theater, the only other theater that was existing was the Oaks Drive-In and the Fox Theater downtown, we probably averaged 3 movies per person in the North County. The average American goes to the movies. The average American goes to the movies 6 to 7 times. He's been a friend of mine a long time. He would come see him in Atascadero. If I wasn't playing the movie, he would drive to Arroyo Grande and spend all day watching 3 movies, so he got to see everything. So if we only have 6 screens, or if we only have 10, he's not going to be able to see all the pictures he wants to see. If he have 20, he will be, and he'll keep his business here in Atascadero. I believe Morro Bay has 1 theater. So you have 10,000 people in Morro Bay who drive somewhere to go to the movies. I think they're going to come here when we have 20 screens. San Luis Obispo has 14 screens, 15 with the drive-in. The Palm Theater right now plays 5, 6, 7 pictures at a time on 3 screens. Why? Because they don't have the ability to play, they don't have the number of screens available to play full schedules on a lot of their pictures. So are we maximizing the possibilities? No. Will we come closer to maximizing the possibilities with 20 screens? Yeah. Will it be completely every possible ticket ever sold? No. There's still going to be some we miss. I hope that answers what you were asking.
Well, you're a true believer. That's all I can say. And I appreciate your entrepreneurial enthusiasm.
Thank you.
Commissioner Sturdivant.
Well, I have one more question for you, Mr. Roush. Can't get away that quick. Quickly. Is it just a question about the building the project? Is this project possible to build without the street abandonment? Can it be done without it?
No, I repeat. I am not interested in building a theater by itself, nor am I interested in building the theater with the restaurant and the two retail spaces you see. That's not going to happen. I'm not going to do it. I cannot draw the people to the theater without the rest. I need the restaurants, not one. I need restaurants. Mm-hmm. We have, I think Mike told me today, we have like 12 now that have been calling us interested in spaces in our project. I need that synergy between the restaurants and the theater. And I know that because of my experience with Paso Robles. When we built the park building, the park theater, there was no restaurants, only one or two, and our business was here. As the restaurants came in, our business went up here. So I know we need that synergy. I know that's why I need to do this project, and I think this is the project is good for Tascadero.
Thank you.
Mr. Roush, about how many movies need to be shown on average per day for it to be realistic for you to operate?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
How many people have to buy a ticket per day? Like average, I don't mean average dollar ticket sales, but how many people need to walk through your door each day and buy a movie ticket?
On average?
Mm-hmm.
4.5 shows a day, 200,000 bodies a year. Divided, I don't know how to calculate it, to tell you the truth, but it's
so you said 200.
Probably 150, 200 maybe. I'm not even sure the number.
Okay, I'm just saying that because I'm a little bit of a math person. So I took your average of 6, which will be on the low end. Mr. Shearer would like to speak before I open it up to the rest of the public. No? Okay. Then anyone else from the public wishing to speak, please come forward and state your name and address, and you'll have 3 minutes. Sure.
Good evening, planning commissioners. George Schroff, been in the area since 1981, currently reside in Santa Margarita. I've been, as I've expressed, in opposition to this project, because I don't see the concept of this market meeting the needs of all the aspects of the project as it's being proposed, as additional theater screenings and PowerPoint presentations and the sort. But I prepared some comments. I'm going to skip some of it because economics has seemed to miss the value of my comments. First, I'd like to take a moment to thank each of those members of the Planning Commission who took the time to visit Galaxy Theaters in Tulare. I do have a good idea of what a solitary theater can offer the community by itself. I have been voicing my concerns about the duplicity of the second 10 screens in the Tascadero. Okay. My efforts have been to see the decisions made are informed and elements of smart growth remain the focus of the city leaders. Okay. I've taken the time to look over the mitigated negative declaration for the project and have a few concerns that question the decisions to not seek an environmental impact report, as some issues may be more significant than declared in the report. The most significant portions of the report fall under number 13, page 9, population and housing. Okay. Under the section A, wording says that the project could induce substantial growth in the area either directly, for example, new homes and businesses, and I emphasize businesses as it is perceived. A lot of business could come into the community.
Mr. Schroff, could you give that page number again? You said page 9, and that's not matching
9,
up.
Oops, on what I printed online. Oh. Population and housing, number 13. On page 9 of what I printed.
It's page 85 of your staff report.
Thank you, Director.
Okay, I'm sorry. So, anyway, the wording says induce substantial growth in the area, either directly, for example, new homes and businesses. The entire appeal to the city for this project is growth of business and customers in the downtown corridor. The potential increase has been a selling point of this project by the applicant. This category warrants an EIR as expected changes are very significant. In the exact location are a few existing businesses that face removal, and that does not seem to be noted, as well as adjacent businesses that may be considered unappealing after completion of this project and face being dislocated. There has been a proposal to install security cameras to monitor the expected tunnel traffic, yet no consideration for the households on the other side of the freeway that reside in the direct vicinity of the overflowing parking and the related pedestrian traffic in the late evening hours. Transportation and traffic, number 16, page 10. I'm not sure. It'll be three pages previous of your last one, or next page. The site proposes no on-site parking. At first consideration was provisions for the handicapped. I heard answers to that. Curbside loading and unloading can be expected to create congestion as well as safety concerns. Circulation of traffic will be created as locating of parking spaces can be complicated during premier nights and weekends. Colony Days parade parking can be used as a comparison. Discussions during the recent study session visited the idea of narrowing El Camino Real, and that falls into a potential significant impact.
Mr.
It doesn't do us any good. I look around our town and say we have how many large supermarkets? I think we have a lot more supermarkets and support 27,000 people when we look at the number of and the size of those. How many large drugstores do we have in this town competing with each other? How many businesses do we have? And we draw around this whole county. The people drive in, so the population of Atascadero is one thing, but we're bringing in people from all around these other areas, Templeton, Creston, out that way, all around outside the city limits as well. John has great experience in building these theaters, and if you've been to any of his other facilities, they are top-notch, really top-notch. I've had the luck of, you know, being in those towns. I have friends in other towns in California, and that's been real good. I encourage you to approve this project, and let's get on with the competition and let it go, because we can support all this. It's very clear to me that that John knows his numbers. 40 years experience says it. The architects that are behind this have been building theaters for 30 years. I think they have the knowledge to build a terrific facility for us, and I don't think you can put it together any better than that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening. Joanne Main, the Atascadero Chamber of Commerce, and I want to commend the developers, and I have said this before, to put together the entire block from Traffic Way to the creek and to redevelop this blighted area is to be commended. And our hope is to see that whole block developed. We are concerned, however. We saw when the Carlton came in and that the area businesses surrounding the Carlton were greatly impacted by lack of parking. And that is a major issue, and I'm glad to see that at least you have looked at that as somewhat and adding 25% of the parking back in. I didn't know if there was still even additional parking that could be created on site. I do think there is going to be an economic impact on neighboring businesses. And I know right now there's not really a huge parking problem because the Carlton is not in high use right now, but it will be. And we worry about that. And I know when they were in use, I think the city's phone was ringing daily by a business complaining about employees parking in front of their business all day long, utilizing a space that a customer could use. So it's something that I think is we need to be prepared for and be ahead of the curve. I don't really want to be like Paso at this point and have such a parking problem that they are experiencing. And if it's not created by this project, at least the city needs to have some idea of surface lots and things that are going to be there for the future development of our town. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Main.
Good evening, commissioners and city staff and members of the public. My name is Monty Klaus, C-L-O-U-S-E. I live in the Las Lomas neighborhood. And I'm interested in talking about an aspect of how La Plaza would be integrated into the community, imagining the downtown core. And I'm appreciative that the architect spoke so much about how that would go. I see a character, but that would be mitigated. I see it a little bit differently, and I'd like to just say why very briefly. And it has to be considered now, even though we're talking about the initial study, and it will be voted upon when you get to the landscape deferral plan. The visual symbolic anchors of our city's downtown core that will really jump out at us in a few years if La Plaza goes forward, and delineate our character are going to be La Plaza, the Carlton, Colony Square, the Administration Building, and Sunken Gardens Park. And I think that that's considered some in this thinking, but especially since a waiver of the height is being considered, being requested, key elements of our city's downtown core character and aesthetic identity are really being chosen at this point. Palm trees do have their place throughout much of California, but they certainly connote Southern California. I propose that we have nothing to gain by being seen as part of Southern California, and everything to gain by being seen as truly Central California, with its superior coast, its vineyards, its ranches, its farms, its beautiful trees of all greater variety and character. I ask that if La Plaza goes forward, that the palm trees not be a part of it, that some other central coastal tree that has a similar profile be utilized to bring in the Sunken Gardens and the rest of the city in a much better integration. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Klaus.
Good evening. My name is Ben Hoff. I live at 8336 Chickadee, Nashville, Indiana. I have been reviewing these proceedings from afar, and I'm lucky enough to be here tonight. Promised Warren I wouldn't speak, but I'm an attorney, and it's hard for me to shut up. I spent 13 years as a city attorney for the city of Nashville, Indiana, and I would just like to say that I believe you folks have a duty here tonight to give Mr. Roush a shot. Your job is to treat similarly situated people similarly, and he has done what he should do, what he needs to do in order to bring a project before this city. My father did the same thing many years ago when he acquired the street in question. That was done so that we could put the Bank of America project downtown. It didn't work out, but that's why that piece of property was purchased and added to the remaining parcels. We paid a considerable amount of money for that street and have paid the taxes on it, and I think it should be part of this project. The last thing I would do is best to follow through on what he says until something shows us different. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Hoff.
My name is Robert Miller. I have an office on West Mall, 5988 West Mall. I've been there for 26 years. I have a dental office there. The project I am not against. I am for the project, but I think some things have to be considered before it goes forward. And Mr. Ward had a question of the builder that wasn't answered. He first started with parking, and also another speaker here brought parking up. When the restaurant on the corner, the name escapes me. It's too late for an old man. But the immediate impact on my office and the office next to me was parking. We have two spaces in front of the office for parking for patients and there are two dentists in my office. My son is with me now. And at times, midday, lunchtime especially, there just isn't any parking. Our elderly patients have to walk quite a ways to get to the office. And I can see that, and somebody brought up when the Carlton expands and businesses and the theater gets going, there's going to be a real parking problem. 40 spaces, if people use them, they're going to first take the spaces that are closer for parking and not walk the 500 feet. Probably they'll want to take spaces that are closer. Unlike the attorney before me, I don't like to speak a lot publicly, so I will be stuttering some as we go. It was mentioned that there was a study.
Dr. Miller?
As far as
your time is up. Do you have something quick you want to just close with?
Can I ask if the study of 40 spaces being 25%, did that include the restaurant or just the theater?
We'll answer.
Just repeat it again tonight. I actually changed my opinion about it. And at that time, the International Film Festival was going on. So I tried to talk to different people. Well, what do you think about it? You think 20 screens in this town? And I talked to someone from Canada about it, and they said, oh, that's going to be great for your town. You're going to get a lot of competition. You're going to get more people coming in. It's going to be a good thing. They did not see a downside to having 20 screens in a town our size. But I would like to ask, I think there was a letter in the Tascadero News that someone asked about an IMAX possibility. I don't know what that would mean. I know they're a lot larger height-wise. But is that any type of consideration that the developer would think about? Because that would be the only one. There's one at Hearst. I think that'd be the only one, in the area. And it may, I don't know if it's something that's feasible economically.
Okay.
So I'd like to ask that.
Thank you, Mr. Comar.
Good evening. Karen Sturdivant, Citizen. Thank you very much for listening to everybody this evening. I had the opportunity of going to Tulare and touring the Galaxy Theater, and it was wonderful. I think we're very fortunate to be having such an excellent establishment coming to Atascadero. And I'm equally as excited to be having La Plaza coming to Atascadero. We are going to go from having no theater to having a choice. I think it's going to be amazing. We were just over in Cambria and had one of the shopkeepers over there telling us that she cannot wait until she and her husband can come over to Atascadero again for dinner and a movie. It's not just Atascadero that is going to be filling our theater seats. It's people from all over the North County. I think it's going to be people from the South County. I think this is going to be what can revitalize Atascadero again. The ability to either drive up to Colony Square, get out of your car, park, get out of your car, walk in, see your movie, get back in your car and leave, or park somewhere and walk to La Plaza. Once again, there's a choice. We can choose whether we're going to see a latest released movie or whether or not we're going to see an opera. We're going to choose whether we're going to see a sporting event. We're going to be able to choose. This is something Atascadero hasn't had in a long time. I really appreciate the opportunity we're going to have, and I appreciate the fact that you guys are going to be making these decisions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Sturdivant. Is there anyone else from the public wishing to speak on this matter? Maybe before we close it, Mr. Rush, would you like to just quickly address the IMAX?
If I may, two things, Dr. Miller. Again, I can only...
If you could speak to the mic, just because we want to make sure everything is on the record.
I can only stress that I plan on doing this whole project, and in the whole project there's 133 parking spaces, not just 46. IMAX. I'm already fighting getting a 72-foot height restriction off. Getting an 18-foot one off. IMAX is 6 stories tall. I don't even know the exact height. However, IMAX also, by the way, is also evolving. They're now going from their major 15 per film projectors, which are a million something apiece, to what's called over-under digital projectors, where they have 2 digital projectors.
Bring it back to the commission for discussion and any questions. Well, actually, I'll start with those that came before us. Director, Mr. Sharaf spoke to his concern about population and housing on item number 13, security for any nearby households that, you know, the population and activity in downtown, could that adversely affect, and then traffic issues. Could you address those?
We looked at the traffic issues. We had a traffic study done. Traffic study indicated there'd be no significant traffic impact, mm-hmm. so the existing street system accommodates the project fine. The population housing part, that's commonly interpreted under CEQA. If you build, like, I don't know, say a prison that needs a bunch of worker housing that's not included, that is forces you to analyze the worker housing. This project doesn't have any impacts like that mm-hmm. that would trigger any CEQA review or analysis. So it may encourage additional businesses downtown. We actually hope it does, but that wouldn't be a CEQA impact. That's just good economic development.
Okay. Let's see. And then people, again, many comments about the parking, and Mr. Roush did address that with the 133 on-site spaces that are planned. Mr. Hoff noted, you know, taking Mr. Roush at his word, and I think we can do that, but you also have a CUP to make sure things are in place so that you ensure someone keeps their word, so I can appreciate that, but that's also why we're going through this process here. Let's see. I think those were the main issues. Again, it just sort of seems to be parking. So let's kind of go through the commission and see what questions or discussion we might have. Commissioner Colomarino.
Well, you raised it, parking, and what I'm wondering is whether there's a way to condition that these 133 spaces will materialize on the site of the overall project, because it seems clear that I like Mr. Roush's observation that it'll be nice to have a parking issue, and just like we like to go to the restaurants that are crowded, being in a place where there's a little bit of a parking question makes you feel like you're somewhere important. But at the same time, if that parking problem is too severe, it chokes off business. So it's something that has been brought up. We foresee the issue. Is there a way we can anticipate it in what we decide tonight by conditioning, for example, that the 133 spaces be provided?
Could you speak to that, Director?
Planning Commission's got a lot of discretion over parking. So staff's recommending that we require 25% of the parking to be provided. The commission can increase that to whatever percent they see is necessary to address the parking issue on this project.
But I think, just to be clear, when he's saying 133 spots, he's talking about the entire project once it's complete, not just the piece we're looking provided. That will actually take care of a good 80%+ of the parking on a regular basis for those weekend peaks.
Not necessarily, because as you add the other phases, you're going to add a lot more square footage that will create additional parking demand. And like I said, staff's never analyzed the whole project. We don't actually know what the total square footage or uses are. So,
okay, I misread this. I misread this when it was community shopping center and restaurant. Okay, so you're just saying the two in this parking model then are the 2 retail spaces. It's just what we're looking at here.
Yeah, under community retail, okay. All we plugged in was the 2,500 okay. square feet of commercial.
Okay, great. Yes, Vice Chairperson Benz.
Question for Warren, Director. Staff is recommending a required 46 spaces for the theater. As a restaurant gets developed, two restaurants get developed, whatever else gets developed, it'll come back before us for the parking for those items too, right?
Not necessarily.
If they require a height waiver, then that would bring them back to the Planning Commission. But if they don't require a height waiver, then they would just be a building permit and wouldn't come back to the Planning Commission and wouldn't require parking. Mm-hmm.
So whose burden does that fall on then? I mean, who's supposed to solve that problem?
Well, right now, the city and the City Redevelopment Agency are basically the primary provider of parking in the downtown through on-street parking and a couple off-street parking lots. So it's mainly the city.
So it's the city's responsibility because they have decided to adopt the policy that is in place now.
It's not our legal responsibility, but it is our political responsibility at this point.
I understand. Thank you.
Commissioner Colomarino.
So, Director Frase, now the rest of the project may not require any conditional use permits, but of course, the staff will have to give a building permit to the developer to proceed with the rest of the project.
Right, but there won't be a requirement. Building permits will not have a requirement for parking.
Okay.
Unless the council changes that requirement in the downtown.
So then this is really the one bite at the of the apple we're going to get on parking at this point, right?
Very likely.
And what we're saying now is that what staff's recommending is that 46 spaces be provided within 500 feet of this project. And you're saying we could increase that number if commission thought it was prudent to do so?
It's within your discretion.
Commissioner Sturdivant.
Yeah, Warren, I believe that Mr. Miller asked a question about the 46 spaces. If that included the theater, the restaurant, the retail, I don't know if I didn't hear that answer.
Yeah, within the parking calculations, that includes the 1,400 seats for the theater, mm-hmm. the 4,300.
Understanding is correct.
Yeah, it has to be off-street parking that's not already available to the public. Okay. So it would have to be somebody's private parking lot for the most part.
And has the applicant been asked if that's something that he's worked on or gotten?
We haven't had a specific discussion about right. that.
Thank you.
Vice Chairperson Benz.
Yes, Director Frase. Trying to figure out how to ask this question on that parking. How can this commission require greater parking than what the code calls for?
Well, it's under your neighborhood compatibility finding for the CUP. So you're not supposed to approve a CUP that's going to have a significant neighborhood impact. So to the degree the commission finds that their parking creates a neighborhood impact, you have the authority and responsibility to reduce that to a level of less than significance. So therefore, it's up to the commission to determine how much off-street parking would be necessary to somehow reduce that to an acceptable level for the neighborhood. That's where staff came up with the recommendation of the 25%. But the commission could decide that maybe that number should be higher.
So is there, on any project that comes before this commission, regardless of what the zoning code says is needed for parking, we can change it?
Well, you do have discretion. Typically, it's to reduce parking requirements, but under the parking ordinance, the commission does have broad discretion on parking, whether to typically to decrease it for required parking, but in this case, because of the neighborhood compatibility issue, staff believes you have authority to increase it.
And so you would still, though you haven't suggested that you want to change your recommendation to this commission on the parking yet.
I think our recommendation is consistent with the study that was done by the parking consultant and their recommendation, so staff is going to stick with that.
Thank you.
Along this parking line, if I could ask a quick question. I believe at the joint session, Mr. Scherer brought up, and I don't know if it had to do with the prior parking study from 2006, but that in the downtown there's something like 3,000 parking spots. Can you speak to that in the downtown area, and specifically how would you categorize that? Like, let's say not going down to, you know, where Colony Square is, but if you just kind of stick within this region, how many spots are there?
Well, the parking study did identify 3,000 spaces. Those are both on-street public spaces and off-street private spaces. That also, that area that was studied includes the Vaughn's Shopping Center, Bank America, and Hotel Park. So the majority of those 3,000 are on this side of the Atascadero Creek. So okay. Around the Sunken Garden area, there's roughly, I can't remember exactly. I think there's roughly about
point.
Not at this point. Staff believes that those would have significant circulation impacts on the existing flow and patterns of traffic. We're all for adding more parking, but you don't want to disrupt your existing capacity in your streets trying to create parking. So that would be the concern. It's possible we could study that, but that would be a fairly lengthy endeavor to do all the engineering and parking and traffic analysis, and we're not recommending just because we have a pretty good hunch that it would tell you you couldn't do it.
So you're unfavorably disposed toward that possibility is what I'm hearing. Is that right?
We're not thinking you're going to get much out of those studies if you do them.
Commissioner Jack?
You know, we've got two competing or potentially competing businesses. There's that are going to bring in a lot of synergy. Maybe it's time to start thinking a little bit outside the box from the standpoint of when parking becomes an issue, particularly on a weekend, and I think that's probably where it's going to be. Wouldn't it be appropriate? I would think the owners of the different businesses that would be impacted by this would be able to get together and pull some sort of an alternate transportation program to move people, whether it be from a centralized parking with maybe even electric trolleys or something like that. If the parking becomes a big enough issue, that cost in that is overshadowed by the benefit that the businesses will derive from it. So I can't see us solving the overall mythical future parking issue tonight here. That's why I am also concerned about it, but I believe that the competitive nature and the business entrepreneurship of the owners of the businesses, as they become impacted, they will come up with some sort of a solution through Main Street or who can be the champion and take it to the city council, and city council then can act on it, or they put in their own program with the support of city council. So I think that's where we go, and this way we can move on with this project, because frankly, when I first saw it, it was a total vision. You're taking Atascadero from the on the west side of El Camino, from the creek all the way to Traffic Way, and all of a sudden you can put a downtown together and make it work. And then if you tie in and with some of the other people that are working on in the background with the junior high school property, I don't see 20 screens as an issue, and I don't see parking that can't.
Director Freeze, if an economic study were made, would our city staff do it? And if they did it, how long would it take?
City staff doesn't have the expertise to do that. We would have to hire a consultant. Typically, we would request that the applicant fund that study and that then the city administer the study so that the commission and council understood who the consultant was and that it was an objective study that was done. That would take some amount of time to get a consultant on board, to get the funds acquired, and then to do the actual study. So it would take a while.
Okay. That answered my question. It would slow the process down substantially.
Yes.
Okay.
Anything else, Commissioner?
Well, you know, when this thing comes up for vote, the only thing I've heard today that sways my decision on here is I don't think there's a real parking problem. I think Mrs. Sturdivant pointed out that if you can't find a place to park and it's inconvenient to go to this movie theater or this restaurant, you go to another one. So I see that kind of working its way out. I don't see that as a problem or any reason to block the project. I'm still concerned about the impact that this will have or potentially have on the Colony Square project. And maybe I sound like a broken record, but I haven't heard anything tonight that, you know, gave me any comfort on that. And I do remember that at our planning meeting, it was clearly stated that perhaps both theaters are going to operate at 50% capacity. And the general feeling was that Mr. Rausch had the economic capability to operate at that level and that he could go forward with his plans. And I have to believe him because he's in the business. But I'm still concerned about that one aspect, and I don't know if, you know, I get the feeling I stand alone on that, but that's the way it is. I just have this gut feeling based on my 40 years of business background that this is going to create some problems, and I'm not sure the end result is going to be a net increase in the overall entertainment market for the city.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Colomarino?
The parking issue is something that concerns me, and it concerns me even more than it might otherwise because we heard from the CEO of the Chamber of Commerce that it's a subject on Chamber's mind. So we can foresee some problems here down the road, and I'm not sure there's much we can do about it tonight. I hope the city is going to be prepared to adapt as needed. I also hope that the developers are going to address it as they say they will with 133 spaces and maybe more. I also think that this is when smart money moves, when things are down. This is it takes nerve to do it now, but this is when you can make the best deals, not when you're following everybody else and moving when the prices are at their peak. So I respect what's going on here. I'm troubled, as Commissioner Ward said, by the possibility that both movie theaters might not make it. But I don't think it's government's role to inhibit competition, far from it. I mean, I think we stand to gain as a community if there really is the competition between these two enterprising movie theater houses. The experience I've had in business is that every business that I've been involved in that faces a formidable competitor is required to be a better business than you would be otherwise. That doesn't mean you're more profitable, but you have to manage the business better. Your employees have to perform better. Everybody knows they have to be at the top of their game. And as a community, if we have two competing 10-screen movie complexes in town, we could really benefit. I mean, all the possibilities that Mr. Rausch is talking about, the Galaxy's talking about, could come true in Atascadero. We could have cutting-edge digital broadcasting going on, all sorts of things. People could come here to go movie hopping, for God's sake. You know, there's a real potential upside here. And as for the downside to the city, well, I don't see a big downside because Mr. Rausch, I think, was right when he said only one is likely to fail, not both. And the way these structures are being built, they can be adapted to other uses. So if they're not going to be movie theaters in the long run, well, wouldn't be the first time that, you know, a new business came in to take the place of an old one. So, you know, I remember at the joint session, Dr. Harrison spoke toward the end of it, and I was concerned by his comments. They reached me. I think they reached many of us. Mm-hmm. He's been battling for a long time to make this Colony Square project a reality. It's a hugely important project for this city, and it's true there are irregularities taking place here to try to move this important project along, but the city did step up and put $1,500,000 of cash on the line to support Colony Square at the end of the game. It did go a long time, and I'm sure that Dr. Harrison and his partner had to endure a lot of difficulty and uncertainty, and we weren't all a part of that, but I think we can empathize with him. So none of this means a lack of love for Colony Square, but this is a great project, too, and to have this type of enterprise.
I'll be quick. I was also concerned about parking after listening to the public speak, and the fact that it's conditioned for the 46 spaces means that it will, for the CUP, it will be covered. So that will be taken care of. And then if the entire project does go through with 133, I agree with my fellow commissioner that we will, as a city, work it out. I mean, we'll put our heads together and businesses, and I think we can make it work. I think that the design that the architects have done is truly just it draws the entire downtown together with the rotunda and the Carlton. Just the style, the architecture, the whole downtown just comes together. It can be quite a place that can be very alive and very vibrant. And like my fellow commissioner said, we could have some movie surfers out here. So that could make for a good,
thank
vibrant
you, Commissioner.
Downtown. Thank you.
And finally, Commissioner Schmidt.
Be like couch surfing, right? One quick question to the director about the conditional use permit. If parking is an issue, could there be a violation of the conditional use permit? If because we have this characteristic thing we're talking about, the compatibility, if parking is a problem, could the project come back and more parking be required in the future?
They're going to be required to comply with the standards that you apply. So if you apply the requirement for 46 parking spaces, that's the requirement they have to live by.
So if we were to change the wording, the 46 is based on compatibility. We're making a statement between the two that we provide 46, therefore you're compatible. Could we loosen those words in some way so it's not that way? In other words, could we create a scenario that we could bring it back and ask for more?
I think they need to know what they're agreeing to,
okay,
up front.
With respect to parking, when I look at the downtown, and I understand some of the problems that were discussed, but I don't know what 95% of the businesses downtown operate and close by at 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
and I would imagine that the theater, most of their business is going to be nighttime. Weekends was a
peak at 8 p.m., yes.
And so I don't necessarily see the conflict, but I agree with Commissioner Jack that I think it's something, and everyone else on the commission, that's something that we could take up when the problem occurs, if it occurs, and gladly take it on when it occurs. So
thank you.
Let's move on.
All right. And with that, I think Vice Chairperson Bence was...
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I move that the Planning Commission adopt Draft Resolution PC 2010-0011 recommending the City Council approve a conditional use permit, height waiver, and tree removal permit for the La Plaza Theater Project based on findings and subject to conditions, and the Planning Commission adopt Draft Resolution PC 2010-0012 recommending the City Council approve Road Abandonment 2010-0019 to summarily vacate a 10.
All right. Somewhere in this pile, my... There we go. All right. Any commissioner comments and reports now? Commissioner Schmidt?
I'm tired. Let's go home.
All right. Commissioner Ward?
Yes. I'd like to bring to everybody's attention that Thursday of this week, the Purple Heart Trails will start to, signs will start to go up on 101. First signs will go up at the intersection of Highway 41 and 101. Friday at 9:30, there's going to be a ceremony at the lot adjacent to Rabobank with the 101 interchange in the background. Assemblyman Sam Blakesley's coming down with his crew. We're going to assemble several Purple Heart veterans. We're going to have a brief but I think very important ceremony. We'll cut a ribbon symbolically on one of the signs, and it'll be a wonderful photo op. I'm hoping that the press will take the opportunity to interview some of these very interesting veterans. They go back to World War II. They've got some absolutely fantastic stories to tell. Afterwards, after the ceremony, Rabobank is hosting some coffee in their boardroom adjacent to the parking lot. I invite the public to attend. It's going to be really something. Our Purple Heart Trail Commission has caused to print several thousand Purple Heart Trail brochures, which are going to be distributed in a couple of weeks to approximately 100 different locations throughout the county, hotels, tourist bureaus, chambers of commerce. And the idea is to link the several veteran of interest venues, museums, and particularly the Faces of Freedom Veteran Memorial here. And many of us feel, as well as honoring our veterans, and particularly the Purple Heart recipients, that this is going to have a very positive impact on tourism for the city, because I think a lot of people are going to come here just to take advantage of the wonderful museums that we have. And Atascadero is right smack dab in the middle of it. So mark on your calendar this Friday, 9:30, right next to Rabobank. And worst thing that can happen, you'll get a free cup of coffee and meet some nice people.
Thank you, Commissioner. And do we have a director's report this evening?
A couple quick items. So your next meeting is on May 4th, it looks like. Right now we have a tentative parcel map scheduled for that meeting, so it should be a little quicker than tonight's meeting for you. Since we last met, we've made a lot of progress on the Walmart project. So the Walmart application has been resubmitted, as well as the annex applications. We now have a full project description. We're working on a couple meetings for May. On May 5th, there's going to be a community open house hosted by Walmart and the Rotman Group. It'll be here in City Hall in Conference Room 4. It's going to be a Planning Commission and City Council. And that'll be the kickoff for the formal EIR process. Right now, the EIR consultant is working on the notice of preparation and the initial studies that need to go out prior to the scoping meeting. So we're looking forward to getting that project really moving here in the next month.
Director, is that May 25th? Is that the date of a normal council meeting? Is that a Tuesday?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we'll be inviting the commission to that meeting.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And with
Tractor Supply.
Tractor Supply is not moving forward quickly at this point. Staff has been meeting with the developer to try to see if we can offer them any assistance in getting that project moving forward. They've run into some financing problems with it. It's still technically a project, but it's having some financial problems right now. But we're working to try to resurrect it.
All right. Thank you. And with that, meeting adjourned.